Am I on? Come on in. We've got 14 greeters out there in the lobby. We need a couple of them to come in here. It's a holiday weekend. We're a little bit low on people, so I told the greeters to learn how to sing, bring them in. So two of them are down there in the middle of Highway 24. Pray for them, okay? They're stopping traffic and redirecting it through the parking lot. Okay, there is a box going around. Who's got the box? All right, shake the box, figure out what it is, put a guess in your head, pass it on to the next person. Keep it going to everybody. If you have not gotten the box, raise your hand if you've not gotten the box so Evelyn knows who to give it to. Lauren hasn't gotten it, and Leah hasn't gotten it. And Sue hasn't gotten it. Well, she's late anyway. Is she wearing rank up on her shoulders? What's she got there? Lauren, what rank has she got on her shoulder?
What rank? I'm the general.
Oh. Hey, Scott, you've been outdone. I mean, it was glittering. It looked like captain. Looked like railroad tracks from here. Howard, where's your uniform? The same place mine is? In the closet, hanging up? Yeah, mine. Air Force uniforms shrink about two sizes every year, and after, oh my goodness, 25 years for me, it's down to about a size zero. Who else needs to shake the box? Larry didn't see it yet. We're going to have that as an opening thing for the lesson. So, prayer request today. It's good to have Evelyn and Marty, but it was good to have Evelyn back anyway. From Interlaken, Florida. How many people have been to Interlaken? And when I was in Interlaken, well, the last time I was in there, it was not too long ago. There wasn't really an Interlaken before. There wasn't much to Interlaken. But now there's a McDonald's and everything. It's big. If you don't know where it is, it's about halfway between Hawthorne and Palatka, right? Yeah. Palatka. There's stories about how that name got... Well, I wanted to do something that nobody heard of, Hawthorne. Well, what's the next town after Interlaken? Hollister, yeah. Hollister, have you been to downtown Hollister? That's another big one there. Okay, it was good to have them back. Prayer request this morning. Who's got a prayer request? Family, friends, needs? Jim? Uh-oh. Pray for, I mean, George, if George isn't here, he's hurting or something. So pray for George and Connie. Oklahoma, you know, and a lot of these places have been impacted by tornadoes, bad weather and all. Pray for that. George fell down. He said George fell down yesterday. He got up, he walked in the house, but she couldn't get him up this morning. So... And if George doesn't come to church, he's hurting, so pray for George. Maybe we should give him a call this afternoon and see how he's doing. Other ones? Pray for Larry.
Pray for our grandson, Ryland. He's on the 31st, this coming Friday, for that mission trip to Moscow.
Wow, okay. What's his name again, Ryland? Okay, pray for him. Mission trip to Moscow for a whole month. Anybody else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you we can gather in your name. And Father, we can share your love and your blessings and just have a good time of fellowship celebrating you. Father, there's needs represented in this room. We've got family and friends that are hurting, that need healing, that need encouragement, that need wisdom. Father, we know people that need salvation most of all. And Lord, we lift them all up to you, place them in your hands. God, we pray for healing. We pray for wisdom. We pray, God, for your will to be done in each situation. We thank you, Father, for your word and for all that it has to say to us today. And as we continue to study it, help us to learn. Help us to grow closer to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so who knows what's in that box? That's what used to be in it. That's what came in it, but it didn't work that well. My son, don't tell my son that I haven't used it. How many want to know what's in there? How many don't care? I know. Okay, it's a tape measure. Who guessed tape measure?
I did.
No, you didn't. All right, who thinks they know what's in it? Yeah. Well, good for you. Well, then you win it. Put it back in my drawer when you get home, okay? Okay. Other than people with outstanding wisdom, I mean, why didn't we know what was in there? Couldn't see it, right? I mean, you could hear it. That's a sense. You could kind of feel it. But you couldn't see it. And sometimes we need something more than natural vision to see things. What do doctors use? All kinds of stuff these days. X-rays, CAT scans, and MRIs, and all kinds of neat stuff now that they can run you through and look inside you and tell what all's going on, right? But we're going to talk about the blind man today, and about how his sight was restored. That was his natural vision. But we're going to talk about supernatural vision or spiritual vision that we as Christians have and need in our lives. So we're going to be looking at that. So if everybody got a handout, if you didn't get a handout, raise your hand, and the winner of the measuring tape will hand it to you. Thank you. Leah didn't get one, and Diana didn't get one. Oh, she did. At least one, anyway. Just one? She's got it. It's not Happy Hiker Day, so she's allowed to walk. By the way, all you ladies and men that want to join them, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, 9 o'clock at the Fossil Beds, the Happy Hikers are going strong. And all the rangers down there are happy to see them. But if you've never been a part of that, they have a ball. So join them. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 o'clock at the Fossil Beds. And just about any time of any, regardless of the weather, there's usually somebody there, unless it's really bad. Okay, well, in John chapter 8, and in John, it's interesting, sometimes in different chapters, he introduces something, and then in the next chapter, he kind of expands that. When we had the feeding of the 5,000, in the next chapter, he talks about he's the bread of life. Well, in John chapter 8, and by the way, on your handout, that's wrong. It says 8:5, that's wrong. It should be 8:12, and then also 9:5. It's in two places. So who has John chapter 8, verse 12? Okay, Howard?
It says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Okay, so he says that in chapter 8, and then here in chapter 9, we talk about the blind man who had no light, physical light, he couldn't see. And then John 9:5.
While I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Okay, so here are two places Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And I think there's like seven main statements in the book of John where Jesus says, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. And these are important, important statements that Christ made when he was here on this earth. So getting into the lesson, Roman number 1, the blind man receives sight. The blind man receives sight. Let's look at the first 12 verses of John chapter 9.
The sixth time, healing a man born blind. As he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples questioned him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? This came about so that God's work might be displayed in him. We must do that. mud from the saliva and spread the mud on his eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he left, washed, and came back seeing. His neighbors and those who formerly had seen him as a beggar said, isn't this the man who sat begging? Some said, he's the one. No, others were saying, but he looks like him. He kept saying, I'm the one. Therefore they asked him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and told me, go to Siloam and wash. So when I went and washed, I received my sight. Where is he? They asked. I don't know, he said.
Okay, so here we have the beginning of the story, and in our handout there, it's the blind man receives his sight. Letter A, Jesus found him. It doesn't say here that this man went seeking after Jesus, okay? The first verse says, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. So Jesus saw him. Jesus found him. Jesus knows. The blind man wasn't seeking Jesus. The blind man wasn't seeking Jesus. Jesus found him. Jesus knows who is spiritually blind, and he seeks them out. You know, Christ calls us he, for a purpose, for salvation or whatever. He's going to speak to you, and he's speaking to this blind man here. And he knows who's spiritually blind. He's going to seek them out, just as he knew that this man was physically blind and sought him out. The man had been born blind just for this moment. In verse, because the disciples ask, ask him, was this man, who sinned, this man's parents or him, that he's born blind? And in verse 3, it says it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was that the works of God might be displayed in him. So he was born blind for this purpose, for Jesus to heal him. And so when we face maybe issues or problems in our life, or you know somebody that was born with a problem or an issue, it's maybe for a purpose that God's going to use that. There have been some great Christian witnesses, singers or whatever, that have a serious birth defect. Anybody know of David Ring? You ever hear of David Ring? He's on some of the Gaither videos. But he had cerebral palsy. And he is a great evangelist. He's hard to listen to because he talks like he had cerebral palsy. But he is quite the evangelist. And he sings in some of the Gaither videos. He's not the best singer. But God has used him in a great way. And there's been so many others that had physical problems that God took and used in a great way to witness for him. How about Johnny Erickson Tada? You know her. When she was 14, had a swimming accident, paralyzed, and God used her in a fantastic way through the years since then. So there's a lot of the same way, this man, it wasn't because of his sin or his parents' sin that he was born blind, but so that God could use him for this moment. Jesus knows all about us, even before we're born, because this man was born blind. It wasn't that he became blind later on, he was born blind. Let's see what it says in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 1:5. I mean, isn't that something? God knows us before we're born. I mean, this is a great verse, in defense of pro-life, that God knows us before. When we're conceived, he knows us, And here he's really talking about Jeremiah. And he's saying, hey, I knew you were going to be a prophet. I started getting you ready back before you were actually born. And then in Psalm 139:16. Okay, read it again.
Sorry. My eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when yet there was none of them.
Okay, so both of these verses talk about us before we're born. and that God knew it. God's in control. He knows what's going on, even before we're born. So letter A was Jesus found the man. Letter B, Jesus knew that he was blind. He knew he was blind. Maybe it was pretty obvious, maybe not. It doesn't matter. Jesus knew that he was blind, and he knew he was going to use this miracle for God's glory. So he knew he was blind, and he realized his need. He realized his need. And God knows your needs. He wants you to bring them to him, but he knows what your needs are. But we need to acknowledge them to him, place them in his hands, and let him take charge. Jesus can only heal those who are spiritually blind if they are willing to admit that they are. Only to those that admit that they are spiritually blind. Where's that verse that I wanted here? I can't find that one. That's okay. We can't see spiritually because we were born with a sinful nature. If we really want to experience a full Christian life and have spiritual eyes, we need to confess our sins and come right with God and ask him for forgiveness. Isaiah 59:2. Okay, so when we sin, we kind of put a barrier between us and God. You know, when we become saved, God forgives us all our sins, past, present, and future. But like John 1:9 says, we need to confess our sins. And he's going to be faithful and just and forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we need to confess that. We need to get right with God. And sin can separate us from God, even as Christians. We're not going to lose our salvation, but he's going to... We put a barrier between us and them. How many people have ever had a little argument with your spouse? Nobody. What a great congregation. Does that kind of put a barrier between you? You know, and you need to kind of confess that and get things right. But it's a similar thing with God. You know, sin can put that barrier between us and God, and we need to confess that. Ask him to forgive us and help us in our daily walk. All right, so he found him, he knew that he was blind, and letter C, the man's vision was restored by faith. Who had 1 through 12? John, you had it. You still have that open? Okay, we're going to read verses 6 and 7. You get paid double if you read them twice. 6 and 7. Okay, so he did what Jesus told him to do. I mean, if you were there and somebody told him, put some mud on your eyes, said, go wash. You're going to say, no, why'd you do that to me? You know? But he trusted Jesus. He had faith that Jesus, you know, there's something different about this man. And he trusted him. He did what he was told to do. And his sight was restored. So the man's vision was restored by faith. Did the clay cure the blindness? No. And it's interesting. Jesus healed other blind people, but this is the only occasion, I think, when he used clay. And he used different techniques to heal different people. Some occasions he didn't even go. You know, when that Roman centurion came and his servant was sick or something like that, he said, Jesus was going to come and said, no, I've got men under me and everything. They obey my orders. You just say it. I know he'll be healed. So in some occasions, Jesus wasn't even there. Sometimes he spoke to him. Sometimes he touched him, spit on the ground, made clay. I mean, did different ways. So it wasn't anything magic about that clay. And it's not that, you know, if you get bad eyesight, you don't need to rush over to the Holy Land and get some clay and, you know, put it under your eyes and see if it's going to work. There's nothing special about that clay, but it was his faith. His faith is what healed him. The next bullet, Jesus also cures spiritual blindness by faith. You know, to clear up our eyes, our spiritual eyes, it's by faith in Christ. Romans 3, verses 23 to 25.
through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God presented him as a propitiation through faith in his blood, demonstrating his righteousness, because in his restraint God cast
So here, you know, it's by faith. It's by faith that we receive salvation. It's by faith that we receive spiritual eyesight. Letter D, the man becomes a new man. The man becomes a new man. Verses 8 and 9. Can you read those again, John? I told you I'd keep picking on you. No, just 8 and 9. That's probably good enough right there. Okay, so his neighbors and his friends didn't recognize him. Something different about him. You know, he was blind a little while ago, and now he can see. As far as we know, there was no physical change in his body or anything. Maybe his eyes look different, but they didn't. That one little thing, he was different. He was a new man. And the same thing when we become a Christian. When maybe you know somebody before they were saved and after they were saved, and they really did become a new man. You know, that God miraculously saved him and took him from a life over here and brought him to a new life here, and that they became a new man. What's the New Testament have to say about that? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay, here it says we're a new creation in Christ. We're different. So the first bullet, many didn't recognize him. The next bullet, he did not understand how it all occurred, but he didn't hesitate to tell what happened. And John, one more time, verse 11. So he told what happened, but he didn't tell the how of it. And how it happened, how that, I don't know. You know, my favorite verse comes up later on. But basically he's saying, this is what happened. And as Christians, when we're saved, you know, when you witness to somebody, maybe God calls you to give your testimony to a friend or neighbor or family member or whatever. And you say, I don't know what I'm going to say and all. All you got to say is what Jesus did for you, what Jesus means to you. And that's all this guy's saying. Hey, this guy named Jesus, this is what he did. I was blind, now I can see, and that's it. That's what he means to me. Okay, Roman numeral 2, a man with new sight meets blind men. A man with new sight meets blind men. Verses 13 to 34, Dieter.
Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind. give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not even know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing, but you do not know where he is from, and yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out.
Okay, and he read it the right way too, because we want to be talking about some of the attitudes here. And so I appreciate that. Okay, well, the Pharisees were more blind than the healed man had been before. Letter A, the Pharisees were more blind than the healed man had been before. These Pharisees were very spiritually blind. There they have the Messiah, Son of God, in front of them and don't recognize it, don't accept him, and then criticize him. And this poor guy is not so poor, he can see now. But I mean, verse 25 is this the perfect verse. You know, people may ask you questions. You maybe try to witness to somebody and they start asking you theological questions, you know. And you know, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin and all this kind of stuff, you know. And what you need to do is stick to the topic and say, listen, all I know is this. I was born blind and now I can see. And this guy opened my eyes. That's my testimony. And so we can do the same thing as Christians, you know. This is my life before I met Christ. This is my life after I met Christ. This is what I have to look forward to. You know, I don't understand the whole Bible, and I can't answer any of your questions, all of your questions, but just let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And that's what this young man did. He couldn't answer all their questions. You know, I think he's a prophet. However, the main thing is I was blind, and now I can see. And that's what's important to me. That's what Christ did for me. So if you haven't underlined verse 25, that's a wonderful verse to witness to people. Great testimony. So these Pharisees proved to be spiritually blind for two causes. And just as Dieter read it with his emphasis, first one is they were prejudiced. They were prejudiced. The second one, they were proud. Prejudice and proud. And that can get in the way of our testimony too. We need to be careful because we can have prejudices. We can be prideful, and just like these Pharisees were. Romans 1:22. Could you read it louder?
Oh, you didn't hear me?
No.
Oh. Romans 1:22. Claiming to be wise, they became fools.
Okay. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. A little bit about the prejudice thing. They refused to see the spiritual meaning of the Sabbath day. Instead, they insisted on their narrow legalistic interpretation of the law by which Jesus was made out to be a sinner. You know, they're saying, this man's a sinner. And the boy that was healed, he says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. All I know is, hey, I can see today because of him. And you know, this is another miracle that was done on the Sabbath. And if you look and study all the miracles, in fact, I have one whole lesson of Sabbath day miracles. Jesus did a bunch of miracles on the Sabbath. You know, why? Why? I think part of the reason were those Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders back then had gotten a little bit too carried away with some of the laws and all and their interpretation. And Jesus was trying to show them, you know, God's intent. And, you know, Jesus says, is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath? And giving different examples and so forth. But this is a Sabbath day miracle here. Letter C. Letter A was the blind seeing man. So that's the Pharisees. They were seeing men, but they were blind. And then let her see the seeing blind man. And this is the one who was healed. He can see now, but he had been blind. Verse 15 again, could you read that?
Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see.
So he publicly related his experience of healing. They asked him, and he told them, here's my conversion experience right here. You know, this is what happened. The next one, verse 17.
They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet.
So he openly told what he thought of Jesus. He openly, and we need to do that too. We need to be open about Jesus. If you have the opportunity, if God opens the door, open your mouth. You know, share Christ. The next one, verse 25, the good one. They're all good. He gave his personal testimony. That was his testimony. I was blind, now I see. Period. You know, that's what Jesus did for me right there. I was blind, now I see. And then the fourth bullet, verses 30 to 33 again.
The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he has opened my eyes. And through 33, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.
Okay, now he's standing in front of these Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders of the church, and he had been a beggar all his life. And don't know how old he is. He's old enough to answer for himself, so... You know, what that age was, he's an older teenager, 20s, I don't know how old he was. But he's standing in front of these bigwigs. You know, how many people have been called in front of the colonel? You know, colonel, you ought to come up here, Scott, and chew a few people out. Or the general, who's wearing the general rank? Oh, yeah. By the way, you've been outranked. We do have a general in the midst over here. But, I mean, he's standing in front of, and there's this bullet to fill it out. He would not be bullied, but he boldly defended Jesus. You know, he could have just cringed under them, but he didn't. You know, God gave him the strength. He wasn't going to be bullied, and he boldly defended Jesus. Roman numeral 4. A man with new sight receives complete sight. Verses 35 to 38. Okay, that's a great passage of scripture there. Jesus makes it clear who he is to this blind man. So letter A, immediately the man believed and then he worshiped him. He believed and then he worshiped him. Letter B, Jesus had healed his physical eyes and now by faith he received spiritual sight. Jesus healed his physical eyes, but now he receives spiritual sight. And letter C, the light of the world had come to him. Just like we started and how Jesus introduced that concept in chapter 8, that he is the light of the world. This light of the world had come to him, and by faith he received him, and he was born again. You know, in today's society, you talk about being born again, and people look at you kind of weird and all. And even some churches or some Christians or whatever may think, that's kind of an old term. Well, that's an old term, yeah. Jesus talked about it back in John chapter 3. Told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. We didn't make up that term. You know, the evangelicals didn't make up that term. Jesus made up that term. And so he was born again. Now the application today, verses the end of the chapter, verses 39 to 41.
I'm going to read 42, if that's all right.
Sure. You don't get paid anymore, though. Yeah, I was going to say, where'd you get verse 42? You adding to the scriptures, it says something about that in Revelation.
And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see me see, and that those who see me may be blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say you see, therefore your sin remains.
Okay, Jesus kind of, he got the point across to them, and Pharisees realized he was talking about them, and said, you talking about us? What do you mean by all that? So under application, a lost person must admit their need. The Pharisees were too proud to admit their need. So a lost person must admit their need, and then by faith, and that word faith comes up a lot in this lesson and throughout the Bible. By faith, receive the cure that Jesus offers. So a lost person must admit their need, and then by faith receive the cure that Jesus offers, the cleansing in his blood. But Christians also can be blind in areas of their Christian life. Now this maybe speaks to us a little more. We must always be aware of prejudice and pride, blinding us to spiritual truths and leading us to sin and defeat. So the lessons of today, by faith he received his sight. And the Pharisees had an issue because of their prejudice and their pride, and that got in the way of them recognizing Christ for who he was. But prejudice and pride in our own lives can get in the way of our walk with God, our walk with Christ, that we need to put aside that prejudice and pride and any sin that's going to hinder that relationship that we have with Christ, and allow him to open our eyes and see spiritually. Okay, we've got anybody, anything to add to that? Before you hear your last Southern Gospel song for the year, I know it's a sad time. Trudy's chomping at the bit, can't wait to see what I picked today. How many of you ever heard of the Booth Brothers? I see those two hands. Oh, we got another hand. Booth Brothers have been probably the number one trio for quite a few years. A couple of young guys, Ronnie and Michael Booth, and then their partner to make it a trio. But they got some fantastic songs out there. And this one, everybody thinks it's called The Blind Man, but actually it's called He Saw It All. So listen to this, and it talks about more than just the blind man being healed, but it's a fun song too. And don't go to sleep, Howard. Stay awake. Go. We got it ready?
The blind man. Listen.
Bill Gaither introduces it even.
I was working in town one afternoon, attending some business affairs.
You got the words here, too.
I heard a commotion a couple streets over and wondered what's happening there. A young man was running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him to please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and he said, I was trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all.
That's what the Lord Jesus can do, folks.
My friend, if the troubles and burdens you carry are heavy and dragging you down, you've tried everything you can possibly think of, there's no relief to be found. That very same Jesus that altered the future of a blind man, the deaf and the lame, is still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you're never the same. You'll be trying to catch the crippled man in here unless this way. Rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Saw it all. Oh, he saw it all.
You can hold your applause. Those are the Booth brothers. You want to see them? Just come join us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the story of the blind man. God, we just thank you for his courage and his strength. Because of you healing him, Father, he was willing to stand up to those around him and just give his simple testimony that all he knows, he was blind and now he can see. God, we just want to be the same. We want to tell people about the difference you can make, that you make in our lives, and the difference that you can make in their lives. Thank you, Father, for the miracles that you perform so that we might know you better and understand more about your purpose for coming. We love you and pray this in Christ's name. Amen.